Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Again, Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace, the wisdom, the power, and the anointing that rests upon all of your word. And thank you for the grace, wisdom, and encouragement, especially that we find in the wonderful tool in your word that we call the Ten Commandments. Thank you, Father, for giving us such a great tool that helps us to come to know you better, to know your heart and your mind and your perspective better, and a tool that can help us to disciple one another and help us to grow in our understanding of how to live a life that honors you, pleases and glorifies you. Help us and stir us more and more, Father, to be the church that is faithful to be carrying out the great commission whereby you called us and commissioned us to go and make disciples, and help us to make a maximum and wise use of the wonderful tool called the Ten Commandments to do just that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'd like to invite you to take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them. If you would do that, we would appreciate that so very, very much. Also, please take time to go to our website, AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net, excuse me. And of course, you can obviously listen to the radio live, AFR live on there. But also, if there are podcasts of this broadcast or any other broadcast maybe that you missed that you want to go back and listen to, or that you want to go back and listen to a second or a third time, you can certainly do that by going to the podcast found on the website. Again, that's AFR.net. Also, we'd encourage you to take the opportunity to download the AFR app and use it every day. When you find yourself in a place where you're not in earshot of a radio, you can listen by way of the app basically anywhere you go. So hope that you'll take time to do that. Want to continue to remind you about our news, well, just the fact that we have One News Now and the One News Now mobile app specifically to help you stay up to date in the latest that's going on in our culture war and in the news of our day. Again, the One News Now mobile app is available. It's free, and you can download it on your phone's app from the phone's your phone's app store. Hope you'll take time and opportunity to do just that. You can read the stories, watch videos, and conveniently share any news stories all from within the app. So that's the One News Now mobile app that's available. Hope you'll take advantage and use that very handy tool. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, as we look at our topic for today, we're encouraging you to learn more about a project we've started here at American Family Association called the Ten Commandments Project. And of course, I just read from you Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. The Ten Commandments is found in Scripture. The Ten Commandments are found in their entirety in two places in the Word of God, in the book of Exodus chapters 1 through 17, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. And keep in mind, the Ten Commandments Project is a project that's a wonderful discipleship project that we've started. It actually started about 3 years ago, in which we have the opportunity in a church setting or in a boys and girls setting or in other settings where we disciple children by using the Ten Commandments as a tool. Actually, through this project, we have the chance to share the gospel on a consistent basis with children and young people and youth, but also we use the Ten Commandments as a guide and a tool to disciple them in the basic areas of living a life that honors the Lord. You know, keep in mind, as believers, every believer, I believe, should take it upon yourself to memorize the Ten Commandments in short form. And I would challenge and encourage you to pray the Ten Commandments on a daily basis yourself. But also, parents, let's teach and encourage our children to both learn them and to pray them every single day as well. Let's take a moment now. We're going to specifically pray through the Ten Commandments so that you'll, again, see how to do it. And of course, to be quite honest, you really don't need to learn from me because you could easily learn to do it yourself. But let's take a moment to do that specifically now. Father, thank you for this day. Help us today, Lord, to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, notice it takes all of about maybe a minute and 10 seconds. It doesn't take long to pray through the Ten Commandments. But remember this, it's not just a nice little habit to do. When you pray the Ten Commandments, you're asking God to help you to live them. And the reality is the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to help us to do that. And we're wise to pray it every day. And parents, we're wise to help our children to pray them every single day as well. So our program today in part is a challenge to every parent to have each of your children learn and memorize the Ten Commandments in short form, but also teach and train them how to pray the Ten Commandments every single day as well. Now, if you ask the question, why is that so critical? Why is that important? Well, let me tell you a very simple but a very powerful reason why. Every problem we face in our world today, all the troubles that we're dealing with in our culture, in our world, in fact, the issues that are in the headlines today, all of them are a result of people violating and not walking in the wisdom of the Ten Commandments. Now, keep in mind, the Ten Commandments, in a sense, summarize and encapsulate the wisdom of all of the Word of God in 10 powerful commands that come from the mind and the heart of God. So God gives us a wonderful tool that helps us to again, helps us to walk in the wisdom of God's word in a wonderful and just kind of miniature form. So our challenge to every single listener is, again, to become more familiar with the wisdom of God found in the Ten Commandments, memorize them, pray them on a daily basis, and parents, let's help our children to do the same. So specifically, we're talking about a project that we've started called the Ten Commandments Project. And allow me to share it with you, the essence of the project. About 3 years ago, we started a project whereby we had the chance to go into churches and or boys and girls clubs. And we're given a group of children or young people or youth to work with. And we do it this way. We challenge them to memorize the Ten Commandments in short form. And, you know, this has been a pretty typical way that we begin. We offer children the opportunity to win a T-shirt that has the Ten Commandments on it, on the back of it, a beautiful T-shirt. And when we start off, typically, we invite kids, if any of them already know the Ten Commandments, to repeat them. Well, typically, in fact, of all the times we've done the project, and typically we do it over a six-week period, we've never had a child, I think there was one or two occasions where we've had children that knew them right offhand. But the vast majority of children knew several of them, but didn't know most of them. And keep in mind, parents, whether or not you ever engage in the Ten Commandments Project yourself, you can do this in your home with your children today, starting today. Have them to memorize in short form the Ten Commandments and give them a reward for it. But now keep in mind, if you want to get in touch with us and learn how they can get a free T-shirt, please get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or you can contact me by phone at 662-844-5036, extension 381. But keep in mind, again, at minimum, you can have your child memorize the Ten Commandments and recite them out loud to you, and teach your child to pray the Ten Commandments every day. And parents, I would challenge you to not only have them pray the Ten Commandments for themselves, but teach them how to pray the Ten Commandments for themselves and for the children and people of their school, whatever school they go to. Now, again, you may ask, well, how do you do that? Well, I'm going to show you how to do that now. We're going to take a moment to pray a prayer that your child can pray for themselves and for the fellow students and all the people that are part of their school. Let's take a moment to do that right now. Dear Lord, thank you for all the people that are in attendance of this school that I attend. Thank you for all the students and all the faculty and all the teachers and all the administration. Help all of us, Lord, this day to put you first. Help us all to make no graven images. Help us all to not take your name in vain. Help each and every one of us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help all of us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help all of us to not murder. Help all of us to not commit adultery. Help each and every one of us to not steal. Help us all to tell the truth, and help us all to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now again, parents, the reason it's wise for you to help your teach your children how to pray the Ten Commandments and to pray it on behalf of their school is because, remember, there's great power in prayer. In fact, when you pray, prayer releases the grace of God. Also, it's through prayer that God commissions his angels to go and help bring to pass that which we pray in line with his will and in the name of Jesus. So when your child prays that the Ten Commandments for their whole school, the grace of God to help the children and the people that attend that school to live the Ten Commandments is released on that school. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know if I have that much power, keep in mind, when we pray, it's the power of God working through us in response to that which we've asked in line with his word and his will. And remember, the word of God is the will of God. So when you pray the Ten Commandments, it's clearly and definitely the will of God. So parents, teach and train your children to pray the Ten Commandments each and every day. And not only will it bless them, but they will be a blessing to their whole school. Father, thank you, Lord, for every believer listening today, and thank you for the opportunity every parent and every one of us has of being able to use the Ten Commandments as a discipleship tool. Lord, help us and stir us and anoint us afresh with a spirit of passion and grace to be passionate about wanting to carry out the Great Commission whereby you told us to go and make disciples, and help us to be wise enough to use the wonderful tool that we call the Ten Commandments to help teach and train and encourage others, young people and others, to live your will, to live a life that honors you, to live a life in line with your word and your will. Help us to be faithful to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, in further sharing about the project itself, the Ten Commandments project, as I said, we did start the project about 3 years ago, and we challenged the children from the get-go to learn and memorize the Ten Commandments. Well, the first 2 or 3 weeks, most children didn't learn it, but after about 3 weeks, they started memorizing them and they started winning their T-shirts. So we'll pick up there on the other side. We're talking today about the Ten Commandments Project. We'll be right back.
Because it's in God that we live and move and have our being. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph, to overcome through the power of his name. See, we give him the praise. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Oh, oh. Give him the praise. Oh, oh, oh.
You're listening to the music of Alvin Slaughter, the song Mighty Praise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're talking about the topic of the project, the Ten Commandments Project. And again, if you want to get more information from us about this project, about how you can take and start the same kind of project in your church or in your community, just please email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net, or give us a call at 662-844-5036, extension 381. And keep in mind, the Great Commission is for every single believer to be involved in. We're all called to go and make disciples. And so I would encourage every single listener to pray about the possibility of maybe the Holy Spirit would have you and encourage you to start this same project in your community or in your church as well. And remember, it's serious business for us to be discipling our children and our youth. It's so critical. Remember, Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." There's nothing our children need in all the world more than the precious and powerful word of God. And it's critical that we're helping to plant the word of God in our children. So the Ten Commandments Project is a project that can help us to do just that, to plant the word of God deeply in the hearts and the minds of our children, and to help them to live it and thus be blessed by the benefits that come from walking in the wisdom of God's word and his will. Remember, the word of God is the will of God. So if you want to help your children walk in God's will, helping them to learn the Ten Commandments is a very important part of that. Again, the Ten Commandments, to summarize them, the first one is, "You shall have no other gods before me." In other words, put God first. It's critical that we live this as believers, but we teach and train our children that God is to be before all things and all people and all circumstances, all objects, any and everything. God is to be number one in our lives. The second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself any graven images." We're not to worship anybody, anything, any person, or anything apart from our Heavenly Father. No one else is worthy of our worship and our praise. Teaching and training our children that we only worship God, no one else, nothing else as well. And also then the third one, "You should not take God's name in vain." We must teach and train our children that God's name is holy, it's powerful. We're to pray in the name of Jesus. And also we're to teach them also that God's name is not a cuss word. God's name is not something you shout when you hit your thumb with a hammer. God's name is to be honored and used as a wonderful tool to help us to pray, but also we're to live in such a way that we honor the name of God in the way we carry ourselves, that we represent him in life and in the way we live our lives. We honor his name that way as well. The fourth commandment tells us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We as believers are to have a day of worship and rest. It's important to understand that God made us, and one of the truths whereby he made us is that he made us to where we need to rest sometimes. And sadly, you have sometimes people that may decide that they just want to work all the time and make as much money as they can. We're all designed to where we have to actually rest every day, but also where, according to the word of God, we should set aside a day of worship and rest as well. God's looking out for us. He's doing what's in our best interest, so we're wise to follow his counsel and wisdom. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. It's critical, parents, that we teach our children to respect our authority and to learn to respect authority in general as well. So many of the problems in our world are a result of children who become adults, of course, that never learn to respect authority. When children aren't taught to respect their father and mother's authority at home, they will grow up and sometimes become some of the biggest troublemakers in school and become difficult people in society. When people can't respect authority, often they'll have trouble keeping a job and being able to maintain themselves. And sometimes it's when people can't respect authority that they give trouble to the police and get in trouble in the courtroom as well. So learning to respect God-ordained authority is very, very important, and it's to start in the home from dad and mom. The next commandment says, you shall not murder. It's important that people learn to respect life and the lives of other individuals. Sadly, we live in a world where we see shootings in so many places, shootings in places of work, and shootings in movie theaters, shootings in churches even, shootings in so many different settings where people will take the lives of innocent persons, shootings in schools, young people killing other young people. And again, remember, God's word is the answer to all these problems. If we teach our children the word of God and plant the word of God in their hearts and their minds, the seed of God's word can change their heart, their lives, and their character for good. So it's important that we make it a priority to plant the powerful word of God in the hearts and the lives of our children. So you shall not murder. But also keep in mind, too, that applies not only to these tragic school shootings. Again, we're not to shoot and stab other people, obviously, killing innocent people. But also, one of the other tragedies in our world, extreme tragedies, is there are many people that consider themselves good, law-abiding citizens, but they think abortion is okay. Abortion, too, is a clear violation of the commandment, you shall not murder. Abortion is taking the life of an innocent child. Now, God will forgive all of these sins, but it's important for us to understand, no matter how many times men say something is okay, if God's word has said it's wrong, it doesn't change. It's always wrong, because God's word is the bottom line for all of life, for all of us. So abortion is murdering a baby in the womb. Now, if it sounds harsh to you to use that term for abortion, well, I'm sorry, but the reality is that's exactly the term that's correct, because it's simply taking the life of an innocent baby. And how much more innocent can someone get than an unborn child? So the commandment that says you shall not murder, it's important that we take God's word as our guide, not society, not culture, not the cultural leanings. We hear people trying to change the word abortion to using words like reproductive rights or a woman's right to choose or whatever term you may want to use. But the sad reality is it doesn't change the fact that it's still taking the life of an innocent human being. It's a violation, a clear violation of the word of God. It's against the will of God. It's a sin. Abortion is violating that command as well. You shall not murder. So remember, God will forgive. God is a God of mercy, but it's important that we not think that it's okay to do it if society says it. No, if God has said don't, if God has said no, if God has said it's wrong, it is wrong, and we need to know and understand that. The next command says, you shall not commit adultery. Well, it's important to understand this is a command that helps us in so many ways in our world and in our culture today. Amongst other things, this command lets us know that the sexual relationship is to happen within the context of marriage between a man and a woman and nowhere else. Boyfriends and girlfriends are not supposed to be involved in a sexual relationship. Two men and two women are not to be involved in a sexual relationship. Casual friends are not to be involved in a sexual relationship. It's only to happen within the context of marriage between a man and a woman in a married union. Outside of that, it's sin and it's against the will of God. So the command tells us, you shall not commit adultery. Sadly, we live in a world where so many times it's depicted on television and in movies and in so much of the media that it's okay for boyfriends and girlfriends to be involved, or casual friends, or two men and two women. Remember, sex outside of a union between a married man and woman is 100% of the time it's sin and it's against the will of God. So this command addresses so many issues in our culture. If we would but hear God's word and do what it says, God's word is the bottom line. God's word is always correct. God's word helps us know what's right, what's wrong, what honors God, what doesn't honor God. And we're not to compromise the word of God. God's will is what is good for us. God's will is what will bless us. God's will is what will enhance our lives and help us to live the abundant life God wants us to be able to live. So remember, God's word will bless us, but remember this, sooner or later, sin will kill you. Sin destroys us as people, and it's important that we not take it lightly, because sooner or later, the end result of sin in the lives of human beings is death. The next command says, you shall not steal. We must teach our children to respect the property of others. We must learn as individual believers to respect the property of others. We live in a world where so many times you find people, they steal and they take other people's things in so many different ways. Now, obviously, when someone goes in a store and shoplifts, that's against the law. If they get caught, they can go to jail. An adult can go to jail. A young person could go to juvenile detention. But the reality is, it can result in people going to jail. But also, sadly, when people steal other people's things, sometimes it can result in death. And this is one more reason why it's so critical as men and women of God that we need to teach our own children these truths, and we should come up with projects like the Ten Commandments Project to teach and train our children. Because in too many instances, you have people that think it's okay to steal in certain contexts. I'm reminded of a true story of a company that was having so much trouble with many of their employees who were stealing so many things that one day they called everyone out into the courtyard before they left the job, and they were going to do a random search of everyone to be sure they weren't carrying anything on themselves. Well, they did a search, and basically they didn't find anything on all the employees, a huge number of employees out in the courtyard of the place of work. But when the employees left, the whole yard was littered with things that people quickly had dropped from their coats and from their belongings, littered with all kind of stuff that people were ready to steal, take from the place of work. But when they thought they were going to get caught, they quickly got rid of it and dropped it on the ground. So lots of stealing was about to happen. And the fact is, so many times the costs in life go up in so many ways when people steal from the job or steal in other capacities. It's wrong to shoplift. It's wrong to take other people's things. But even more seriously, we must teach. We need to live this life, but also we live it that way in our lives. But we're to teach our children, don't steal as well. I've heard of so many tragic stories. I'm reminded of a sad story of a young man that went to burglarize a truck in his neighborhood. And the individual came out of his house and ended up shooting the young man. He was just a teenager, hadn't graduated from high school, but died. And remember, there was nothing in that man's truck that was worth that young man dying over. But sadly, he died as a result of trying to steal something from another individual. I heard of a young man that in not too far away in a large city where went into a store, stole an item, stepped out. The attendant stepped out, shot the young man. The young man died. Again, he was only 17 years old, died over a very small item that he took out of the store. Well, the person that shot the young man did get arrested, but the reality is, if someone had taught that young man the Ten Commandments, that young man would probably be alive today. But stealing is wrong. Stealing leads to many problems in life, and sometimes people in an attempt to steal lose their lives in the process. So teaching our children, don't steal, don't take other people's possessions, is very, very important. And parents, just as a side note to that also, teach your children when they go make a purchase, whatever age they might be, a small child or a middle school or a high school or a teenager, teach them always get a receipt and a bag. Always get a receipt and a bag, because that way they can prove that they purchased it. Too often people will sometimes buy something from a store and think, I don't need a bag or a receipt. But now keep in mind, especially with children, sometimes a child may be accused of stealing, and if they didn't get a receipt or a bag, they have no way of proving, or may have little or no way of proving that they did purchase it. So parents, teach your children, always ask for a bag and a receipt. That way they can prove that they made a purchase. The next commandment says, you shall not tell lies. We live in a world where people and culture lies all the time. And so it's important that we be people of integrity. Our word should mean something. God's word is always going to be true. But as people and people who represent Jesus Christ, we should live in such a way that people can rely on what we say as well. We live in a world where people lie in so many capacities. So oftentimes we can't believe what we hear on media because there's so many lies so prevalently told in our culture. We're looking today at the Ten Commandments Project. We'll pick up on the other side. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
My salvation.
Music from the Walls Group, the song All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the Ten Commandments Project. It's a project whereby we're challenging and encouraging churches or individuals or just believers that feel like the Lord might have you start this project in your community, a project that's used to both share the gospel with young people, children, and youth, but also to help disciple them, to teach and train them the meaning behind the Ten Commandments and help them to live them in a way that will impact them for the rest of their lives. Again, we were going through the meaning, the basic meaning behind each of the commandments. Again, we were talking about the ninth commandment, you shall not tell lies. Again, we live in a world where there's so much deception, so many lies, where people will say things that just aren't true at all. God's word is a reliable guide to learn truth 100% of the time. So if we read the Word of God and do what it says, we'll be walking in truth. And so, again, there's so many in our world where their word cannot be trusted. Reminded of the story of a family that it seemed that everyone in their family was just was committed to living a lie and living as liars. Well, it's in the family that the daddy would lie, the mama would lie, the son would lie, the daughter lied, and they said in the family, even the baby lied. And I guess maybe if the dog could talk, the dog would lie too. Well, it's important that we be people that our word should mean something. So be a person of your word. When you say something, it should mean something. Tell the truth. That's very, very important that we be people. Our word can be trusted. And the last commandment says, you shall not covet. We're not to have a desire for things that we have no right to or things that belong to others. For example, if you're an individual and your neighbor has a nice car, don't desire their car. Ask the Lord to help you get one and get a job and buy one yourself and pray, ask God for one. But don't desire your neighbor's car or don't desire your neighbor's spouse. Ask the Lord to give you one. But it's important to understand covetousness can lead to many problems. It can lead to stealing. It can lead to attempting to steal as well. And so covetousness is a problem in our world as well, and it can lead to all kinds of other problems as well. Well, again, that's just kind of a summary of the meaning, the wisdom behind the Ten Commandments, and we're challenging you to consider starting the Ten Commandments Project in your church or in your community as well. Again, the way the project basically works is where, for example, when we recently started a new project, and typically it's a project whereby my wife, Bertie, and I, we spearhead them, and we've had the chance to do them in Boys and Girls Clubs in more than one city here in the state of Mississippi. But also we've done them in churches as well. And just this past weekend, Bertie and I had a chance to be a part of a congregation that wanted us to come and help them just get it kicked off. And they were going to take it and run with it. And we were glad to do that. Well, again, basically the way the project works is where, for example, we challenge every child, every young person, every youth to memorize the Ten Commandments in short form. And again, we give them the Ten Commandments in short form for them to study. And so keep in mind, this is really a very simple task. And most, your average child could actually, for 20 minutes of concentrated study, could memorize them. So But also, I want to challenge every adult listening to memorize them as well, because you'd be surprised how many times adult believers just don't know all 10 of them. In fact, typically you can go to your average church and say, we'll give $10 to whoever can recite all 10 commandments. Often you will keep your money, because many times most all the believers in that congregation don't know all of them. They may know most of them, but not all of them. In fact, often you'll keep your money even amongst a group of pastors as well. Memorizing them is a wise thing to do. So I would challenge you to memorize the 10 commandments. But also, parents, be sure that you teach and train your children as to what they are, whether or not you get involved with starting a 10 Commandments project yourself. But as I said, we typically, in the project, we challenge the young people to learn and to memorize the 10 Commandments. When they're able to recite all 10, they get a free T-shirt that is a beautiful blue and white T-shirt that has the 10 Commandments printed on the back and has a scripture on the front. The T-shirt is also a wonderful witnessing tool as well, because it's giving people God's word in public simply by wearing the shirt. But also, during the sessions, we also teach the young people over a six-week period, about five to six-week period, we teach them the meaning of each of the Ten Commandments. And typically, also, a great tool that we've used is we use clips from movies, especially Christian movies, that are helpful to help illustrate the different commands. And there really are some wonderful movie clips that can be used to help illustrate it. But the illustration, for example, one of the ones we've used was an illustration from a movie that begins with the scene where a man's truck is stolen, or he at least it's almost stolen. He's able to prevent it from happening, but it just so happens the man's baby was in the truck as well, but he's able to prevent the stealing of his truck. But it's a very dramatic clip from the movie that we show. And we show about a five-minute clip, and then we turn it off and we say, let's talk about what you saw. Well, these movie clips are wonderful tools to draw discussion in from the kids, because they can obviously see a scene where someone has just witnessed someone trying to steal something valuable from another person. They're, again, clips that show somebody stealing something, or clips that show an instance where someone is almost murdered, or an instance where someone else is disrespecting their parent or disrespecting an adult. Again, once the children watch the scene and then you say, let's talk about what you just saw, it's easy to get them to discuss and talk about it. But also, it's a wonderful way to help them see, to have is illustrated before them how people violate the wisdom of God's word in life so much. And so it's important that children grow in their understanding of how to live out the Ten Commandments and what it looks like when we live it out, and they need to know the meaning of each and every one of the commandments. So during the six-week period, we typically have discussions. We show movie clips and sometimes music videos, again, that help illustrate the truths behind a given commandment. And we find that the children really get into it and really have fun learning, but at the same time, parents, this is very, very serious stuff. It's very serious activity. Why? Because it's discipleship. It's planting the Word of God in our children. And there's nothing our children need more than the powerful Word of God. So it needs to become more of a priority. So again, to every believer, men and women listening, pray about whether or not the Lord would have you start the Ten Commandments Project in your church or in your community. And if you want more information about it, again, you can get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or simply give us a call at 662-844-5036, extension 381. Now, you know, sometimes as believers, we think to ourselves, you know, that sounds like a good project or a nice thing to do, but I'm just so busy. Well, let me say this to all of us as believers. It's important for us to know that we can easily talk ourselves out of doing things that we know God has called us as the church to do by saying we're just all so busy. Sometimes we need to stop doing some things we're doing, because some things that we do are a big waste of time and they don't necessarily honor God or line up with His will. And the fact is, we live in a world where so many of us waste a lot of time. But remember this, when we're discipling our children, when we're sharing the gospel with our children, sharing the precious and powerful Word of God with our children, that's never, ever wasted time. Remember, wasted time is wasted life, but you're never wasting time when you're investing and planting the powerful Word of God in the minds and the hearts of our children. Remember this, the Bible refers to the devil as being like a roaring lion, wandering around seeking whom he may devour. The devil's trying to devour our children. We live in a world where the devil's trying to take the lives of our children through school shootings and through suicide and through so many other pressures that are coming against our children and adults as well. Well, we as believers have been given the most powerful weapon in the universe, the Word of God. And it's our job to take it and to both use it to share the gospel with our children and our youth, but also to disciple them, to help them to learn to grow up in their faith, to teach and train them, just like we're to challenge and teach and train our children to start the habit of reading the Word of God every day. On a pretty regular basis, I challenge believers to start the goal of reading 3 chapters in their Bible every single day. You can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 minutes. And for those that say, again, they just don't have time to read their Bibles, let me give you the Greek word for that kind of excuse, baloney. You and I have time for what we want to do. And remember, we must make time for God's Word. Remember, the Word of God is such a powerful weapon that we all need to be using every day of our lives. But again, parents, not only should we be reading and meditating on the Word of God every day ourselves, we need to be teaching and training our children to read the Word out loud as well. So my challenge to every parent listening is, have your children to read 3 chapters out loud to you every day. Now, sometimes, pastorally, I hear parents that say, well, I tell my child, go in your room and read your 3 chapters. Or I tell them to go read their 3 chapters. Well, parents, that can be okay, but let me tell you why I would encourage you to let them read out loud to you. Sometimes, now this may not be true for your children, but sometimes children will lie to their parents and tell them, oh yeah, I did my reading, and they haven't read anything from their Bible. Well, when they read out loud to you, parents, you know they've read it. But remember this, whether they read with a smile on their face or whether they read grumbling because they are only doing it because you made them do it, it's going to bless them. Why? Because God's Word pours grace, peace, wisdom, vision, and encouragement into the mind and the heart of any child or any adult that reads it on a daily basis. Nothing will bless our lives more than the powerful Word of God. So reading it every day is important for us as individual believers, but parents, our children desperately need to have the Word planted in their minds and their hearts every day. And if they read out loud to you, that's one way you will know that they did it. And you know the Word of God is working on them as well. So again, our goal is we want to challenge and encourage you to pray about the possibility of starting the Ten Commandments Project in your community, in your church. Again, if you want more information as to how to do that, once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or simply give us a call at 662-844-5036, extension 381. I would mention with the T-shirts, for example, if you wanted to have T-shirts made up, you're welcome to use the same design that we use. Or if you want to take it and customize it to your own liking, great, wonderful. But you're welcome to use the design we have if you're interested. But we'd like to be as helpful to you and encouraging you to take the project and run with it as we possibly can. So simply get in touch with us. We'd be glad to help in whatever ways we can. But we want to encourage you to pray about the possibility of doing it. And don't make the mistake of thinking that this sounds like a nice, cute, sweet project for a Sunday school to take on. This is serious kingdom business, folks. This is very serious business because, again, our children need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to be taught how to grow up in their faith and how to grow strong and vibrant. And as we mentioned, the Ten Commandments is a wonderful tool God has given us in His Word. That's a great tool to preach and teach and train and guide our children from, to help them to come to know and better understand how to live a life that honors God and helps a life that helps us to follow Him and to serve Him faithfully. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Ten Commandments Project. Bless it indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Lord, I pray that you move upon many churches and many individuals to take it upon themselves to do this project and bless their communities. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. The number is 662-844-5036, extension 381. Get in touch with us if we can help you to start the Ten Commandments in your community. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.